Psalms chapter 127. We're going to read this chapter this morning. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's pray this morning. I just want to challenge you on something, a few things this morning. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for helping us this morning. Thank you for the safety you give us on the way here. Thank you for these good folks. Lord, I've really had them on my heart the last couple weeks, and I just want to thank you so much for them. And Lord, the folks in this auditorium are the ones that have basically given us everything that we have here. And I thank you for them. Thank you for their sacrifice. I pray that you'd bless them, Lord, and just help them and help them with the needs that they have as they're at this time of their life. And Lord, I pray that you just bless us today. Help us to gather some truths out of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we had the month of May was a heart for your heritage, a heart for our heritage. And one of the things that is a heritage, verse number 3, if you look at verse number 3 with me, the Bible says, lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And you know, a lot of the heritage that we've been looking at is heritage that we've had in our past, right? I mean, it's, you know, the Baptist distinctives, the things that the abounding traits of the book of Acts. Those are the things that we have really been looking at. But you know, also in a way, your heritage is your lineage, your children. And not just your children, I would say, but also the children of others whom you are associated with. Okay? And I want to help you with something this morning and maybe just be a challenge to you in a couple things. But in Psalm chapter 127, it gives us an interesting analogy, an interesting illustration of children being as a certain item. Okay? And if you'll look it down at verse number 4, the Bible says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. I brought an arrow this morning. This is just one of my, this is just a regular hunting arrow. And I've made some arrows, and that's probably I think if Lord allows me to, I'll probably preach a message about the process of making an arrow, because it is a very interesting process of the actual process of making an arrow, and it can really be correlated with a lot in the ways that we deal with young people and deal with kids and stuff, okay? But I'm not doing that today, but this is an arrow. Now, if you notice the Bible said, as arrows are in the hand of what? A mighty man. Okay, it's not just saying, as arrows, so are your children. No, it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. It's somebody that knows what the arrow is good for. It's somebody that knows the potential, if you would, of the arrow. It's not talking about arrows that are sitting on the shelf. Look at verse number 5. I'm sorry. Looked at the wrong chapter. Verse number 5. Happy is the man that hath what? His quiver. What is the quiver? The quiver is something that you carry with you. That is your arsenal. So in this regard, this man that has his quiver full of these is as a man that knows what he is doing and knows, if you would, what that arrow can do in the hands of somebody that knows how to use it. Okay? I'm not a great bow shot. Okay? I can hit a deer really consistently 40 yards. But I get much past 40 yards, and if it was a nice deer and I had a perfect shot, I would take it, but I'm not real comfortable past 40 yards. But 20 yards, I can hit a quarter all day long, 20 yards, okay? And that's not great. Brother Nathan Walton, he is a great shot, okay? He's not in here, and I'm bragging on him without him being here. He is an excellent shot, okay? He has shot competition and stuff like that. But I'm not that good of a shot, okay? But in the hands of somebody, I took some boys bow fishing the other day. First time they'd ever been bow fishing. And most typical bow fishing shots honestly, you're standing up on, well, we were standing on a bank. And what, for those of you who don't, I think everybody would know what bow fishing. You shoot an arrow at a fish, and the arrow's got a line attached to it. So when you shoot the fish, then you reel the fish in. Okay, it's a lot of fun. And you can shoot some pretty large fish that way. But most shots are honestly from me to that pew. And you'd think, well, that's an easy shot. That's an easy shot. They ought to be able to. But you know, we fished for 3 hours, okay? And I took the bow. I was like, here, guys, here's how you do it. I pull back, wham, nailed a fish, okay? And I was like, here, you do it. Whack, whack, whack. They couldn't hit him. They couldn't hit the fish. But you know what the difference was? Is because that weapon, that bow and that arrow that I was using, I knew how to use it. I knew where to aim on that fish. And as much as I tried to tell them, you got to aim low. Because shooting in water is a visual, you have a visual perception thing. Your fish is actually lower in the water than what it visually appears to be in the water. So you have to aim below that fish in order to hit that fish because there's a visual misconception. Now, if a fish has its back up out of the water, you just aim and shoot. That's pretty easy. But there, it's a training thing. It's a learning thing. You know the difference was of the success that we had that day? You know, we fished for 3 hours, and I bet we shot. I let them use my bow. I said, hey, you guys can take this bow home with you. And you know what I told them to do? Practice with it. Throw a bottle out in the yard and shoot the bottle. It ain't going to hurt nothing. But you know, next time we go, if Lord allows us to go again, I think that they'll probably nail those fish, okay? Because they're used to it. But you know the difference is you have to understand what you have and the ability and the potential that you have. You know all these young people in here? They are like arrows in a quiver. They may not be, well, they're still in our house. Yeah, they're still in your quiver. Or they're still here in the church. But if they're brought up right and they're, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you correlate that to the arrow making concept, that is a very interesting, because I can take a crooked stick, a stick that's not straight, and I can reform that stick by a process, and I can make that stick straight. I can train, if you would, I can train that stick to be straight. Isn't that interesting? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, that means when I let go of it, that thing's going to fly straight and this thing's going to fly true. Think about that. That's a pretty neat correlation, okay? But it's in the training. Well, I can't get to it because I want to finish what I'm talking about. But I love doing it. It's neat because I can take something that's got knots in it, something that's got branches sticking out. I can take a tree out here, a little sapling, and within a few short minutes, I can have something that's bent and crooked. I can straighten it where it will actually hold its bend, hold the straightness of it. And I can make it do that. But why do I want to do that? Because you shoot a crooked arrow, it's going to fly crooked. Okay? That's why it's important while they're still in the quiver. And I know most of you don't have kids at home, but I want you to think about these kids. Why do we do some of the things that we do? Because we're trying to straighten a few things out. My dad straightened me out a lot. All right? Straightened me out a lot. I had a lot of bends, a lot of crooks, a lot of little things he had to shave off. But you know what? You know, and I don't live a perfect life, and I'm not perfect, but you know what I want to do? I want to fly straight. Amen. You know, God has a goal. God has a target for me. And I want to hit that target. And that's what I want these young people to do. But you know how I can do that? The only way, because once I let it go, you know there's fun, you know, bow fishing is probably the exception. But when you let the arrow go, it's gone. You can't go and say, oh, wait a second. I want to take that one back. No, it's gone. Yeah, you can go retrieve it, but it's gone. You know, you can't, it's not a guided missile, folks. You can't guide it at once it's released. You can only guide it in the preparation stages. And that's what we do with these young people. We guide them in their preparation stages. And hopefully, when we let them go, that thing will fly straight. That thing will fly true. So, but it, you know what it takes? It takes somebody that, you know, I could give this arrow, and I'm just saying this, I could give this arrow to, I don't know how many of you have actually ever shot archery as far as trying to kill something, but if I gave this arrow to you, would you really know what to do with it? Some of you would. Some of you have shot stuff before, but some of you would be like, oh man. I watched some, it wasn't necessarily this time when I took them bow fishing. I've taken some kids shot archery before, and they'll pull it back, and they put their finger, their thumb, like right here on their cheek. And I'm not real sure what that was doing. And I tried to, you know, increase their form. You know, they're pulling it way up here. Like, I think they watched too many movies or something. But they're pulling this bow, like, way up here and stuff. And it's like, no, here, let me show you what to do. This is how to get the most potential out of this arrow. This arrow right now, my wife, I texted her this morning, asked me to bring it to her. And this has got, it's called a swacker broadhead. And the reason they call them swackers is that's the sound it actually makes when it hits a deer. It whack. That's the sound it makes. But this arrow, can everybody see? I don't know if you can see that. I got about 3/4 inch blade showing right here. But when this thing, it's called a mechanical broadhead, and this arrow will open up when it hits on impact, and it opens up to 2 inches. It'll cut a 2-inch hole in an animal. That's a big hole, okay? That leaves a pretty good blood trail, all right? But you know what it is? I know what this arrow can do. In the hands of Brother Nathan, this arrow, this exact combination, he uses swackers a lot. I don't know what he uses right now, but he's killed a lot of deer with this combination right here. But you know why? It's because he knows what he's doing. Okay, I know Brother Tom Deer bow hunts. He knows what he's doing. There may be others in here, but he knows what, he knows when he pulls that back and he puts that pin on that deer, that's where that arrow is going to go. You know, when I pull that, when I pull my bow fishing bow back, yeah, it may be a close shot. Don't underestimate the close shots. You know, if I got a shot like right here on a deer's walking under me, you would think, well, what pin do you use? The 10, the 20, or the 30? The 40. What? The 40. If you don't, your arrow, it'll miss every time. Well, that don't make sense. Yeah, but it's because you got to know what you're using and what it is. You know, you got to learn these kids. You got to, and parents, you will say this, you know your kids best. Why? Because you've learned your kids. Okay? You've learned your kids. I know where my bow's going to hit, relatively. Sometimes, you know, and hey, sometimes I make mistakes. Sometimes I've missed. I haven't missed a lot in the last few years. Maybe once in the last few years I've missed. But it's knowing the potential. You know, children are like that. Children are a heritage of the Lord. And happy is the man whose quiver's full of them. But we see that the mighty man and the man whose quiver's full of them. So it's somebody that knows the potential, knows what that kid can do. Pastor referenced a couple of the boys. There's Jasmine and Christopher and Michael. You know what? I'm sorry, but that little Christopher, I was at a skating rink with him that last time we had a skating thing. If he fell down once, he fell down 250 times. I promise you. I mean, that kid was always on the ground. But you know what? He got up every time and would skate 20 more feet. He'd get up, skate 20 feet. And you think I'm kidding. I am not exaggerating at all. I mean, I'm just skating around, okay? And it's almost like I just know every time I go around, I got to pick him up at least once, okay? And I just scoop him and slide him. But you know what that tells me? That kid's got some, hey, if I fall down, I got to get back up. He didn't quit. He didn't go sit on the bench like a lot of Christians do. I'm sorry, but you know what that tells me? Okay, yeah. You know what? I'm going to break this if I bend it. But, you know, there's some things that's going to be fixed. All right? But he's got a lot of potential. The kids in the your grandkids. You know why I fight for them so much? Because I want to see the potential. I want to see the potential. All right, so children are like arrows in the hands of a mighty man. So understand what they're for. Understand that God has given them to you, and don't. And I'm terrible about this. I know I am, and I really try to work on it. But I don't want to spend so much time involved in the world that I don't invest in the most important thing that God has given me to do. And that brings us to another thing. An arrow can go farther or can reach things that I cannot reach. An arrow can go farther and reach things that I cannot reach. Okay, if I got a deer standing right in front of me, I might be able to touch it. But I can't. It's impossible for me to touch a deer at 40 yards or 20 yards. I can't touch a deer at 20 yards. I can't do it. But this can. And this can do more damage. Listen, this can do more damage than I could if I was standing there with a knife. This can do more damage. You know what, folks? These young people are going to outlive, by God's grace, and I know things happen, but those young people that sat in those back few rows and these few rows, they will outlive all of us. You know what that is? That's reaching farther than what I can reach. That's impacting a generation that I will never impact. So you see how important it is that it's well taken care of, that it's straight, that it's properly formed, that it's got the proper tip on it. You see how important that is? Okay? Because listen, those young people, there's young people in our youth group right now that will do things for God that I will never be able to do. I think I've got at least one boy that could very well that he could be a preacher in the youth group. Well, who is it? And that's, I don't even know if that's true. That's God has to call him to do that. But he's got the making. You know, he could be something I could never be. You know what that is? We're trying to straighten them out. Yeah, you get rid of all the rough spots, sand it out so that's nice and smooth, as best as we can. And then you let them go. And parents, thank you. Thank you for investing in your kids. And, you know, listen, we're not training your kids or your grandkids. You do that. We're just trying to come alongside and help. That's all we're trying to do. So, you know, invest in those kids. You know, they're a heritage. We talked about heritage all last month. And I don't think Pastor really, maybe I was gone one Sunday, maybe he talked about it then, but one of our biggest heritages is our children and our grandchildren. That is who will keep this church going 10, 15 years from now. That is who will do that, okay? That's why it's so important. That's why it is so important to invest in them in the right way. So, it takes somebody that knows the potential. It takes a mighty man. It takes somebody that, okay, you recognize what this arrow can do. There were men in ancient times. I mean, they drew bows back over 100-pound draw weight. I mean, these guys were behemoth men, okay? I forget the guy's name. A guy did a study, and I don't recommend necessarily watching things, but this guy's pretty neat. And I don't even remember his name. He's got some weird Russian or Hungarian name or something. But he studied medieval archery and how they actually held their arrows. They would hold their arrows. I forget how he said it, but the certain way they held their arrows, they could fire. It was an insane amount of arrows in like 10 seconds. They could do like an arrow a second and hit with amazing accuracy. I mean, just as fast as they could pull that thing back. I mean, they're shooting arrows. And with him, he's got videos of him, and he spent his life doing this, okay? But he'll be running and do a jump and flip and shoot arrows while he's flipping and hit stuff. Pretty amazing. But you know what that is? That's somebody who knows what he's doing and knows what equipment he's using. It's a man, it's got something in the hand of a mighty man. Remember the story, and I know it's not talking about arrows, but there were, I think it was 900, I may have my numbers wrong, there was 900 Benjamites. They had slingshots, okay, slingshots, and they were all left-handed, and they could throw a stone and hit a hair. They would not miss. They hit a hair every single time. 900 of them. That's pretty good accuracy. Okay? I've seen guys split playing cards with slingshots. That's pretty good accuracy. I've split playing cards with a gun before. A playing card laying on its side, and I can split a playing card with a handgun. Okay? But we're talking about bows and arrows here, people. Okay, not a gun. A slingshot. But you know what it is? It's somebody that knows what you're doing. And you practice and you train that thing. So that way, in the heat of battle, and this brings us to our next one, in the heat of battle, you know where that thing's going to hit. You know the potential. Okay, I don't have to worry about my son in this situation. I don't have to worry about my son going out and getting a job and worrying about what's going to happen on the workforce and who's going to influence him. I don't have to worry about that because I know what I've put into him. Are there temptations? Yeah. Look at verse number five. So it takes somebody who knows the potential. Remember that an arrow can go farther and can touch things that I can never touch. And then let me say this. The best answer to a critic is the success of our children. The best answer to a critic is the success of our children. Verse number five. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I love that statement. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know what? This is the vision, the picture of that verse that I have. Okay, you've got a city, obviously a fortified city, okay? And you've had parents that have their whole life battled to keep this city protected. To keep this city protected. And then the parents have died off, so everybody knows that, oh, okay, the old bear of the hills has died off. We're going to go in and just take this city. So they come up to the gate, but they don't just walk in. There's Junior standing there. Says, excuse me, what do you think you're doing? Well, your mom and dad are dead. We're just gonna take all your standards. We're gonna take everything that they believe for. We're just gonna take it all. No. I don't think so. You know what? That's what I kind of see here. Yeah, they the Bible doesn't continue, but it says your enemies, they're gonna speak to your enemies in the gate. Hey, we have an issue right here with what you're trying to do. Okay? And you know what I think that is? Hey, the young people, I think if they're brought up right, I don't think they'll make you, we go to Proverbs, a foolish son is the shame of his mother. Okay, you want to go to how many verses in Proverbs to talk about children honoring their parents? All right, and I think if a child is brought up right, I think a parent would be proud of them. Okay, when my kids, I can't, Brother Chad, you can't talk about this. Your kids aren't older. Okay, but this is Bible. All right, I don't know. Maybe I don't have teenagers yet, and I've never and I never will throw stones. I don't do that. Because I don't have teenagers yet, okay? I don't have young adult children yet, all right? I won't throw stones, okay? But there are Bible principles that if you go against Bible principles, there are certain results that come from that, okay? But, I'm happy when my kids do something right. I'm kind of proud of them. Now, it doesn't happen real often, but... I'm still in the really bending process. I'll get into the arrow starting thing here, but when you're really trying to get that dog leg out of that arrow, you got to bend it. Listen, you got to bend it almost to breaking point. You got to bend it. Now, listen, you can't break it because that arrow ain't no good after you break it, but you got to bend it almost to breaking point. And you know what? At this stage of life, my son, I am bending him almost to breaking point. Okay? It's either he's going to break or I'm going to break, one or the other. But I'm pretty sure he'll see the error of his ways. But you know what? I want him to, when I'm dead and gone, I want him to speak to my enemies in the gate. Said, no, this is mom and dad's. This is what my mom and dad stood for. hey, this is what I stand for. You're not coming in here. This is sacred ground. You're not taking my standards. You're not taking our way of life from us. But you know what I have to do? I have to train them up to do that. Okay? I have to train them up to do that. So, those three things. And I want you to think about that. And I really am. I thank God. I actually taught some of this in Master's Club. But I taught to the kids. But, you know, I think we need to... And I want to say thank you, because I was really thinking about that. You know, the folks that have, I didn't understand it, because, you know, in the arrow making process, there's heat involved. I didn't always understand the heat. I didn't always understand the bending part of it. I just didn't. And, you know, these young people, they don't understand it. Well, Brother Chad's got on to me today. Well, you probably deserved it. Just like I deserved it. And there were some monitors in school I could not stand. But you know the ones I could not stand? I'm going to give an illustration. Okay, she's not here. Me and Mrs. Chesser, we did not see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. But you know what? I will stand here today. Mrs. Chesser was probably the best monitor that I had in school. You know why? But she wouldn't put up with junk. No, I didn't understand it. You know, I got demerits for having my hands in my pockets at school. I'm like, what is that? What is this, a boot camp or something? But you know what now? I look back. Thank you, Mrs. Chesser. Don't slouch. Thank you, Mrs. Chesser. You know what? I didn't understand. And I love Mrs. I actually tried to call her the other day just to see how she was doing. I helped her with a bunch of stuff before she left. But you know what? It was somebody that wasn't willing to, oh, it's okay, you can do that, or I don't want to hurt their feelings. No. She didn't care. She doesn't know what the word feelings is. It's not in her dictionary. Okay? It's not there. I don't know. I don't know where it's at, but it's not in her dictionary. Okay? She didn't care. And you know what? I'm thankful for that now. I didn't always understand when my dad got on to me, but I'm thankful for that now. I didn't always understand when I went to work for some of you men in here in the church and, come on, you need to hurry up, hurry up. Man, I'm dying in here. But you know, that made me who I am. You know what that was? It was just tweaking it just a little bit. All right. We need to bend this little bend out of you. Have you ever heard of the term bent to evil? They have a bent towards something. Think about that. You know what we need to do? Bend it back. Well, you're just too strict here at church. All right. Here. We could go forever on this lesson arrow thing. You're too strict here at church, okay? My dad, he's an expert at getting bent metal fixed. But you know what? If you got something that's bent really bad, you don't just bend it back to level. You have to bend it past level. Because then when you take the pressure off of it, it comes back to level. Well, I don't understand why you have the strict rules you do at the school. Okay, well, maybe, you know, most of you folks don't probably live by school rules in your day-to-day life. But you know what we're doing? We're bending it past so that when the pressure is off, it goes straight. That's all it is. Well, I don't agree with it. Okay, so if you just bend it to wherever you think is level and wherever you think is, here's this term, fair. That's just the fair thing to do. If you just bend it to the fair, you know what comes back out after you take the pressure off, which is what the school is. It's a form of pressure. When you take the pressure off, you know what happens to that bent spot? It comes back to bent. Maybe not quite as bad. And hey, you know what? We've turned out some kids. We've turned out some good kids here at Blessed Hope Baptist School. Some good kids. But the exceptions are the godly kids. This week, and I will finish with this story. This week, I had a man and I'm not going to give his name, but a man stopped here at church, lives in Daytona Beach, Florida now. He graduated from Blessed Hope Baptist School in 86. That's what he told me. He's like, do you remember me? I'm like, no. I was born in 87. So, I don't really put the thing together there. No, I didn't remember him. Who he is. He showed up in a van. I was outside working on Bible school stuff, and he showed up in a van. He's like, hey, is there somebody, is this the school or is that the school? I was like, well, that's the school over there. I said, this used to be. He's like, well, he told me his name, and he said, I used to go here. I graduated from Blessed Hope Baptist School. He's like, I wanted to bring my grandkids by to show them where I used to go to school. So he brought his grandkids out, and he told me later his daughter, the boys' mom, got killed when she was 27 years old, got hit by a car. So he's taking care of his grandkids now. But he comes in and he's, you know, of course, you know, those of you that were here that many years ago, think about what the building used to look like. You know, that addition wasn't here. The walls downstairs were nothing the same. You know, remember the trees out here that used to be out there? Our parking lot was like a quarter of the size it is now. Okay, that building never was here. That was all trees and brush and junk. McKee's house, all that. You know, he's coming here and he's like, he's almost disoriented. He doesn't know where stuff is at. And so I took him in the building and I walked him around the building, showed him everything. And he was telling his grandkids, yeah, this used to be here. And he went out to the gym and he was telling me about playing games out in the gym and different things like that. And I asked him, I said, hey, you go to church anywhere now? No. Don't go to church anywhere. Cuts paper. That's what he does for a living. He cuts paper. I don't know if he works at a paper mill, I'm guessing, something. This is fine. Doesn't go to church. You know, you can tell it in the kids. You know what I mean? I mean, they're not bad kids. They listen sometimes, but you can tell. He's like, I really need to get back in church. I really need to go back. He said, life, he's like, I was involved. I did everything. I had a blast here. So where's life now? Where is it now? You know, we've turned out a lot of good kids, and he's a good guy. But the godly kids, you know, and I don't profess to be godly. I'm a work in progress. But you know what? I want to, for these young people, remember what I said. Sometimes you don't understand why we push them so hard. It's because we're trying to push them maybe back past where they really have to be, so that when we let up the pressure and they're off by themselves and they don't have a teacher looking over their shoulder, they still do their work, and they still have character. You know, character is what you are when people aren't looking, okay? So just a few thoughts about the heritage of the Lord. So understand their potential. Remember, an arrow can go farther and can reach things that I can never reach. And then the best answer to a critic is the success of our children. People bash us. And I don't care. I don't really get offended by it. Whatever. Because you know what? You know, I see the Isaac Waltons and the Nathan Waltons and the other ones that have, you know, they've come up and they've done. You know, Brother Tommy, you've probably pushed your boys. You know, there were times when you pushed them past where they were comfortable. My dad pushed me past where I was comfortable. But then when they come out and it pressure's off, they can go do whatever they want. There's still that train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, can everybody's got free will, everybody's got free choice. Everybody can do exactly what they can have the best training in the world, but something has to happen inside here. Or they'll go off and hit something that you're like, whoa. I didn't train him to do that. That happens. It happens. You shouldn't beat yourself up over it. It happens. Okay? But I want to give these young people and your grandkids and your children, if that's applicable, the best opportunity that whatever God has, whatever God's target is for their life, they are prepared. Once they come out of that quiver, put on that bow, they are prepared to hit that target. So let's pray for these young people. Let's get behind them and help them. Don't be afraid. Listen, don't be afraid to do a little bending every once in a while. Hey, don't be afraid to do it to me. Seriously, if you see something, Brother Chad, that's like, he should not be doing that. You know, scaring kids in the morning, you know, I shouldn't do that. Although it was really funny. Thank you, though. Thank you for all those invested in me. All of you. I see Brother Frank back there. I mean, how many years he was in Master's Club with me and had to deal with me in Master's Club. Brother Don was my Sunday school teacher. Brother Tommy, he hired me to help. I helped Brother Bobby sometimes. Different guys in here that have invested in me and put their, you know, invested their life into me. Thank you. And ladies, thank you for when I was in the nursery. Most of you probably changed my diaper in the nursery. It's kind of awkward, but yeah, it probably happened. You know what it was? And that's, you know, sometimes those training years, I don't know, maybe I'm rambling now, but those training years, those little moments in the nursery when I was beating up some other kid and I had to be bent a little bit, thank you, because that's part of the training. You probably have, honestly, the ladies in this room probably had as much to do with me being right as the men. Okay, but we all got to pull together, say, all right, come here, you little rascal. I'm taking you to your mother. No, not mom. Not dad. Thank you. Thank you for investing in something that hopefully, if God tarries, I will live past you and I will be able to touch people that you won't be able to touch. So thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we're getting ready to start Bible school. We're going to have the opportunity to invest in some young people. Lord, I pray that we would just invest in them and help them. Lord, thank you for the good folks in this room that have invested in my life and have given me opportunities. And even when I failed, have come alongside and encouraged me. Thank you for that. Lord, I want to do that for our young people, Lord. I want to come alongside of them. And Lord, they are going to fail. They're not always going to do what's right, but I want to help them. I want to encourage them when they do what's right. Lord, I pray that we would realize the value and realize the potential that these young people have. Help us to train them up to serve you. And Lord, I pray that when they're let go, that they will just go forth to serve you and to honor you with their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.